So in this beautiful text called Bhakti Sudha or Nectar of Devotion, we have talked about devotion is nothing but love for God as opposed to love for people. And love for people is exclusive. I only love this person or I love this object. But love for God is all inclusive. It includes everybody. And then what are the qualities of a devotee we have studied? What are the benefits of devotion? How to increase devotion? All that we have studied previously. Those who are new can go through the text later on. Today we shall talk about the kinds of devotees. Who is it that approaches God? And why do they approach God? So there are four kinds of devotees. And these are people who go to God asking for something. So this is page 42, verse number 27, which is what we'll do today, about the four kinds of devotees. And like as I said, those who are new should go through the book later on, because that will give you a good idea of what love for God or what devotion is. So page number 42, verse 27 will tell us about the kind of devotees or kind of people who approach God. Bhaktas chaturvidha proktaha. Chaturvidha proktaha. Swayamam narayanenahi. Swayamam narayanenahi. Arto jignyasurarthaarthi. Arto jignyasurarthaarthi. Jnani nishkama eva saha. Nini nishkama eva saha. So four kind of devotees. Prokta, it is said, chaturvidha. Bhakta means there are four kinds of devotees. And the Lord himself says, even in the Gita and many places, he says there are four kinds of people who approach me. Who are they? Artho. Arthi is the first one. The one who is suffering. Arthi, the one who is suffering. Then Jignyasu. Jignyasu is the intellectual who approaches God for knowledge. Artharthi. Majority of us are artharthi. We approach God because we need something. We need wealth. We need power. We need position. Or, you know, I want my son to get a good job or my daughter to be successful. So most of us approach because we want something from God. But jnani nishkama eva, the one who has no desire but God and God alone, is called the jnani or the wise person. And so let us see what is their attitude of each one of them. So the first one is the one who is suffering. He has problems in the world. And she says, you know, things are not going well. Oh God, you help me. I'm having all kinds of problems. I'm having sorrows. I'm having difficulties. So what are the kind of sorrows that we can get in this world? The first one is natural sorrows. So there is an earthquake and your home gets destroyed, or there's a tornado or a flood. Or drought, you know, where the farmers, you know, are hurting because they... So that is the natural disasters. Second is problems that come from the surroundings. You know, my husband, my wife, my neighbor, my boss, my child, you know, is giving me problems. Teenager, he just doesn't listen. And so these come from the surroundings. Or my dog or my cat, you know, my dog is sick, my cat is sick. So problems that come from the surroundings. And then the third kind of problems come from within. My mind is upset, I'm so stressed, or my body is sick. You know, I have health problems, I have physical problems, I have mental problems. So problems that come from within. So such people approach God and they say, oh God, please relieve me from my suffering. You know, I need a new house, I need a new car, I need a new job, my business is down, please help me. And if you go to a temple or a church and you stand behind and quietly listen, all the people are asking for something. All of them are either asking for relief from suffering, or I need more money, I need a job, I need this or I need that. So they are all the time wanting. The second group is the intellectual or the scholars. And what they say that they want to know what is in the Bible. They want to study the Bible. So they'll do a PhD and do a thesis on some obscure part of the Bible that nobody has done research, or some they will study Sanskrit or Latin and study the original texts. And they want to show that they are great scholars, and then they'll give talks and, you know, and stand up in the, you know, in a church or a temple and or on the TV, they become great, you know, teachers, and a lot of people remember them and worship, you know, pray, respect them. But their goal is often is just to show their intellectual skill. They don't approach God really for his sake, but so that I may use this knowledge either to earn a living or to impress people. That's the second kind. The third kind is, as I said, those who want something. They want a house, want a car. And there was this man who wanted to win the lottery. And so every time he would open the newspaper and say, God, I haven't won the lottery even this time. Okay, next week. God, how come I don't never win the lottery? 8 weeks passed by. Every week, God, I really wanted to win the lottery. How come I never win it? 9th week, when he says that, God, why don't I win the lottery? A voice comes from above. Son, meet me halfway. At least buy a lottery ticket. He doesn't buy the ticket, but he wants to win. So we have to at least do our part. You know, God can help you, but so they say, well, okay, so God says all of them are noble. At least they have come to me to ask. Why are they noble? A, because they, first of all, they believe that God exists. Suppose somebody doesn't even believe in God, then the question doesn't arise. You know, then he's not even going to go to God to ask for anything. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. Okay, at least this person believes in God exists, and he believes that God is omnipotent. Yes, he can fulfill my desires. God has all the power. When I'm suffering, he can relieve my suffering. When I want something, he can give it to me. And he knows that God is willing to help. He knows that if I go to God, there is a possibility that God will help. So he at least has faith in God's power and has faith in God's compassion. And what God says that maybe in the beginning they come asking for something. You know, that's alone. They want, they're selfish. But in the end, maybe they may be convinced about my love for them, and then they may come to me for my sake, not as a means to something else. And so that brings us to the fourth one, called the Jnani or the wise person, who says, I want God alone. I don't go to God to ask him for something. God, give me this, give me that. I go to God and say, give me you. When I have you in my life, I'm happy, I'm fulfilled. Worldly objects, it's okay, they will come and go. I mean, we need them. But if you use God to get something, like say, okay, I say, God, I want you to get me a job, or I want you to get me money, then what happened? That goal is what? It's money or job, or God becomes an instrument. God becomes a means. Okay, I use God to get something higher. So money became more important than God or my job or my health or whatever. So God became a means to an end. So using God, I get something else. But a wise person says, God, I want you. When I have you in my life, I'm happy, I'm fulfilled. Material objects, if they come, it's fine. If they don't come, it is okay. That will happen in life. And if I work hard, I'll get what I deserve. But when I go to the temple or the church, I go for him. I say, I'm here, God, because I want you. And so that is the best one. And why is that? Think about it in life. Like, suppose there is a man who loves a girl. One has a girlfriend who is very rich, you know, who is a millionaire. And so he loves her. Why? Because her father is very rich and he has given her a lot of money. And also after he dies, she will inherit a lot of wealth. So he loves her not for her sake, but what she will get. So this reminds me of a story. One man asked another man, you know, do you love your wife because her father died and left you $1 million? He said, are you crazy? I would love her the same no matter who gave her $1 million. So is that what you want, or you want somebody who loves you for what you are? You know, who loves a girl irrespective of whether she's rich or poor, whether, you know, whatever she is, whether she's, you know, I love you because of you. You, I love you. You. So who is the true devotee? The one who loves her because she'll bring him money, or the one who loves her because he loves her for herself? For whatever you are, you are perfect, you are fine, I am happy with what you are. So that is a true beloved, one who loves somebody unconditionally, totally accepts her 100% as she is, without any preconditions, without any attachments. So similarly, a true devotee of God says, I love you for what you are, and I want you and you alone, and I'm not going to use you to get something else. So that is the summary of this verse. And the next verse will talk a little more about the wise person, why he is or she is more beloved of God. So this was in brief. Is there any comments? Anybody wants to ask any question about this? About the four kinds? Maybe we should look in our heart also and see which of these four do I fit in. Do I love God for this, or do I love him for the fourth? And that is what one has. So the idea of this knowledge is that I should internalize and say, do I only go, like, you know, people, when they are suffering, they go to God and, oh God, please help me, help me. And then when things go well and they're happy, who God, what God? I don't have time to go to church. I'm so busy. You know, Sunday I have to play golf. You know, they forget God very quickly. So am I one of those three, or am I the fourth? And if I'm not the fourth, I should become the fourth. That is the idea of this verse. Yeah, actually we say Shanti three times. I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your question. Yeah, so when we say chant Shanti, Shanti, Shanti three times, it is that, first of all, there may be problems from nature. Surroundings means people around me. Mostly people around me. Those are the surroundings. People or my job or my work or my factory, you know, things like that. Problems may come from people or things around me. And the third is problems may come from within. So we ask God that may there not be problems in nature, may there not be problems around me, and may there not be problems from within me. Peace in the world, and yeah, and that the community and the world is all one. That is all my surroundings. That is all people. Are you talking about peace among people or peace from nature?
Shanti.
Yeah, Shanti. One is from nature. May there not be natural calamity. Surrounding means the whole world is my surroundings. May there not be problems in the Middle East. May there not be problems. That is all worldly situations. Problems from people. Surroundings means problems from people around. And then problems from within. But nature is different. You know, those are natural calamities. Earthquake. But when I say problems from my surroundings, it could be from within Bakersfield, could be within U.S., or could be even in the Middle East, because the whole earth is one. Shanti, three times. Third one is for within. May there not be conflicts from within. May my mind not get stressed. May my health be okay. You know, physical problems arising from within, physical or mental. So arising from within, arising from my neighbors, my family, my countrymen, and then third one is from nature. Yes. That's why we chant Shanti three times. You know, when we finish our prayers, we always chant Shanti, Shanti. We used to do that here, but then, you know, I felt that it's better to leave in silence. But the idea of doing Shanti three times is, may there be peace in the cosmos, in the nature, may there be peace in the world, and then may there be peace in my heart. That's why we always chant Shanti three times.